Federal government agency improper payments are up almost $20 billion. The Government Accountability Office says its fiscal 2014 audit reveals agencies racked up a total of about $125 billion in improper payments. Beryl Davis is Director of Financial Management and Assurance Issues at the Government Accountability Office and testifying about this issue to the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Beryl, it's always great to have you on the program. Let's start first with the scope of what the committee asked you personally to testify about improper payments. Thanks for being on, as always.
Thank you. I'm very glad to participate in this conversation. The issue, as you mentioned, is the significant amount of improper payments government-wide. It's almost $125 billion. And the fact that it went up $19 billion from the previous fiscal year, I can share with you that there were three programs that were actually the primary contributors to this in error rate, Medicare fee-for-service, Medicaid, and the Earned Income Tax Credit. So that really the scope was to look at improper payments and try to understand what causes the improper payments and what we can do about it going forward.
When you examined the numbers and dug them, not just in those three programs, but across government, what are some of the challenges that you run into that agencies encounter themselves in cutting improper payments? Because obviously the administration's been talking about this a lot for the last several years. It's a big priority. So, but the attention that's being paid to it doesn't seem to show up in results.
The first thing that needs to be done is to get a good estimating methodology, and because you need to get your hands around the problem. You need to understand the full extent to which improper payments occur, and this has really been a challenge for a number of agencies. They also then, assuming they have a good estimate, need to understand the root causes of the control weaknesses, because if you don't understand those root causes, you're not going to be able to develop preventive controls. A good example of that might be upfront eligibility through verifying certain information in data sharing. And one of the things that we did testify at the hearing about was payment information related to the Social Security Administration's file of deceased individuals. So agencies having that information up front in order to determine whether their payments that they are planning to make are going to be proper is very helpful. Unfortunately, a lot of agencies aren't able to gain access to some of these data files, and therefore they're not able to determine whether their payments might be proper or improper. But there are also statutory limitations which actually may prevent an agency from estimating or recovering improper payments.
You write in this in your testimony, some agencies reported in their fiscal year 14 agency financial reports that program design issues hindered efforts to estimate or recover improper payments. Can you give me an example of a program design issue that you cited there, Beryl?
Sure. One of the best examples is temporary assistance for needy families. This is a program that has over $16 billion in program outlays. It's also been designated as at risk for improper payments. However, they have not developed an improper payment estimate at this point. Their reason is that it's a state-administered program, and in order to develop a reliable estimate, they need to obtain state assistance. However, they do not have statutory authority to obtain that assistance from the state. So HHS is working with them to try to reduce improper payments, but the design of the program and the statutory limitations have made it difficult.
So they could ask the states for help, and the states may help them voluntarily, but they're not obligated to by law, and therein lies the rub. Is
that's correct.
Is that on track? Okay. You also write, inspectors general at 10 agencies identified noncompliance with improper payments requirements in fiscal 13. And you write about the strategies for reducing improper payments, the root causes of improper payments, and the analyzation. That sounds to me like the same kinds of things that you and your colleagues have been writing at GAO about improper payments historically. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely, that's fair to say. The root causes is so critical in preventing improper payments. Recovery efforts are important, too, and agencies can have difficulties in actually recovering improper payments. But if you don't develop preventive controls in the first place, it's going to be difficult.
Beryl Davis of the Government Accountability Office testifying to the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee about improper payments in government. The error rate is up as well in fiscal 14, Beryl. What caused that problem, and does that track on a parallel track to the increase in dollar outlays?
Both outlays and the rate went up for the top three programs, which does track and combined affects the improper payment rates for those three programs. But to be a little bit more specific, Medicare fee-for-service, which contributed almost $10 billion of the close to $20 billion increase, went up from a little over 10% to 12.7%. Medicaid also went up a percentage point from 5.8 to 6.7. That contributed to another $3 billion of that large increase this past year. And the earned income tax credit also went up from 24 to 27%, another $3 billion, although their rates have been running about 25% on average over the last 5 years. But the important thing is that a lot of these programs, in the case of Medicare and Medicaid, for example, are growing. And in fact, Medicare and Medicaid stated that they have estimated an average of 8.9% increase each year over the next 3 years. So if that occurs, even if the rate doesn't change, you're going to see, because of the program outlays increasing, you're going to see a growth in improper payments.
Because of the nature of the complexity of some of these programs, is the fight against improper payments as simple as a best practices fight, or are each of these organizations in need of undertaking some solution that's peculiar to them because the program is peculiar to them?
I think it's a combination, but I do think that your second point about the program having specific needs is very important. The Earned Income Tax Credit program, for example, one of the components of that has to do with the W-2 filings, and there has been some talk, at least, about moving up those or accelerating those filing dates, which would enable a comparison of the income data with the data that's actually filed by the taxpayer. So there are some, intricacies, I guess you might say, within specific programs.